Log Talk Radio.
Shalom, family. First, I'd like to open up with a prayer. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, thank you for waking us this morning, giving us the breath of life, and enabling us to go throughout our day and perform our tasks. Hopefully, we were the lights that this darkened world needs, so that we can draw people back to the ancient past in your ways, Father. Yeah, there's no substitute. Thank you for this, allowing us to reach this Shabbat evening. I want to thank you for the report that I received from Sister Debbie about Zaken Eliezer, that he's doing well and with the cancer. And we keep him in his prayers. And we know that you're able to answer all our prayers. We know that the children of Yah are able to do great exploits. That's what we have to always keep in mind. And Father, thank you for allowing me to fill in tonight for Brother Ariel. And let's pray for Brother Ariel. His daughter has surgery. She's recovering, and he's with her by her side as we speak right now. Father God, pray for all of those in Beth Yahweh. Pray for all of Israel, Father Yah. Open up our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes on this Shabbat evening, that we can hear from you and receive the manna from up high throughout the rest of this Shabbat evening on this program and leading into tomorrow morning and to the Torah portion. We thank you in the name of your Son, Yahushua, our soon come King and Redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening, family. Hopefully everyone had a good day. And for the men, we just completed our fast around, I think it was around 6:30 this evening. I won't get a chance to eat until this program over, but it's all good. This way I'll be able to enjoy the spiritual food. And tonight's topic is going to be coming out of 1 Kings chapter 12. You're probably familiar with it, family. We've been down this road before. 1 Kings chapter 12 is going to speak about this when the split occurred between the tribes of Israel. Remember, it was 12 tribes in whole and total under Saul, the first king of Israel, and also under King David, the second king, and also under Solomon. But as Solomon died, that's when a discrepancy came in. Well, not discrepancy. That's what Yahweh allowed, a discrepancy, a disorder to come amongst the two tribes, and therefore the tribes split. The northern tribes, they became the northern tribes under Jeroboam, and the southern tribes remained loyal under David, King David reigned. which was Solomon's father, who Solomon reigned in his seed, and which only two tribes were down in the southern tribe. That's Yehuda and Benjamin. They're the two tribes that stayed loyal under the heir of King David, the priestly king that we knew of. And what brought me to this topic tonight, because tonight as we speak right now, at sunset tonight is the 17th of the 8th month, Shemini. I'm saying it incorrect. The 8th month, we know it in the scriptures, we know it as the month of bull. When you see the word, when you hear the term bull, that's, you'll find it in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 37 and 38. When Solomon completed building Yahweh's temple, he completed it in the 8th month, this month of bull. But getting back to why I was led to this topic, because this is the 17th. Excuse me. This is the 18th of the month of Bull, and the 18th of the month of Bull on Wednesday at sunset was the 15th of Bull. Last night was the 16th, excuse me, and the night is the 17th. I'm looking at the calendar wrong. Forgive me. Yes, tonight is the 17th. At sunset, just made the 17th. So right now, this will be the third day into a feast that was presented to the children of Israel by the King Jeroboam. King Jeroboam, he made a feast of the 8th month, as we know, counterfeiting the feast of Yahweh's 7th month, which we came out of the 7th month that we just came out of, which has the Feast of Sukkot, which lasts for 8 days. He did not get this from the Father Yah, because I've been studying and researching this last week. This is what he wanted to do to keep the people from returning down south to go to the temple, because that's where the sacrifices and the holy worship services, they were held in Jerusalem. If you can hear me okay, family, let me know. I have it up loud. And so as we know, from this month, this is the 8th month coming off of the 7th month, and King Jeroboam, he instilled this feast. You're good. He told us. He instilled this feast to make the people prevent them from going to Yahweh. And it's us. We're going to look up his name real quick. His name, I have it written down right here. Excuse me. Jeroboam is in the Hebrew number 3379. And his name means the people will contend. And that's the people will contend, to strive, to contend, to grapple, to wrangle, controversy. So as we see it within his name, it has some meaning to what caused him, what provoked him. But we know what provoked him. We know it's only two spirits we're dealing out here, Israel. It's only the Most High Abba or Hasatan. And we've seen that from Hasatan when we go through Ezekiel 20:28. When you go in that chapter, you see where Hasatan had his demise, where he started to inhabit the praises of the Most High. Instead of him directing them to the Most High or fellowshipping along with it, being accompanied in union with it, he allowed the praise take him to make him want to be the Most High, to go against the Most High, to deviate from the Most High ways. just like we say in the same spirit got into Jeroboam to make him have a feast on the eighth day after Yahweh's feast. We know, excuse me, and like I said, we're in 1 Kings chapter 12. Some history, though, that we had to realize that the nation of Israel, like I said, for over 120 years, you had Saul, David, and Solomon, consolidated power. They built strong government. But after, like I said earlier, after Solomon's death, that's when everything started to unravel. Some hostilities were towards each other, coming from the north tribe into the southern tribe. What they requested, Solomon's son was the reigning king, the king, Rehoboam. Rehoboam would not release a burden that they had, that they came and asked of him, because he released a burden that his father Solomon had placed on him. Rehoboam made a mistake. When I say made a mistake, if you read on into it, Rehoboam didn't take wise counsel, and that's very important that we have wise counsel. It's good to have counsel, but make sure you have wise counsel so that you can be very distinctive in your choices that you make. Because without wise counsel, sometimes you can be led astray. Well, not sometimes. You will be led astray. That's what happened to Jeroboam in the result of not hearing what his tribe wanted to hear from Rehoboam. Rehoboam told him that the story goes, he would not lift. He told him, come back and talk to me in 3 days. And then when he didn't listen to the counsel of the elders, which was the counselors probably that was during his father's reign. And when he was a younger man, they told him, don't speak harshly to the people. Because we know from Proverbs chapter 15, a soft answer turneth away wrath. That's why Yahweh put those things in there. And not only that, we know from Proverbs, that was a writing of Solomon, but his son didn't take heed to what his father penned. So he gave them, he asked counsel from his younger generation, the group that he came up with, his comrades, and they gave him bad counsel because they told him, they instructed him, like, tell him, no, you're not going to lift up the burdens that your father gave him. As a matter of fact, your father ruled them with a whip. You're going to rule them with a scorpion. And you're going to make it even more strenuous. It kind of sounds like back in Egypt. Remember the taskmasters that was in Egypt under the Pharaoh's command when the children of Israel was in Egyptian bondage? When he took away the straw from them and made their task even harder than what the routine task itself. So we see the same spirit still rises and keep coming back. There's nothing new under the sun, like we learned in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Basically, because they were saying that Solomon's yoke was heavy, but now not realizing that there's his son, Rehoboam, his yoke was going to be heavier than Solomon's. And your Rehoboam name comes from the Hebrew 73:46, which means a people has enlarged. Excuse me. And as I was saying earlier, how everything was well under the rule. Well, when I say well, like far as like their battles and conquering and their borders expanding and their trading, that went well under Saul, David, Rehoboam's father David, and Rehoboam's grandfather David, and then Solomon, his father. But then things changed. But as you read on in the story, Yahweh put. He told the man of God to put on the heart to tell him, don't fight against your own brethren. We had an instance come up in the last past Shabbat when we were reading the book of Maccabees. We was in the second chapter, the third chapter, where a lot of the Israelites, they fled out of their towns where they were living at and fled to the wilderness so that they wouldn't have to profane the Sabbath and violate the covenant, the holy covenant of Yah, by not eating any unclean food that was sacrificed on altars to idols. And so a lot of people ran. They took their wives and children and their cattle, and they went to the wilderness. But they were pursued by Antioch's generals and army, and they pursued them on a Sabbath, and they surrounded them and told them, all right, enough of this nonsense. Come on out, surrender. But the people said, they said, we will not come surrender because we will not do what the king commanded us to do, and we will not profane the Sabbath. So that's, you know, not eating anything defiled. And so they said they attacked them, and over 1,000 people died because they would not profane the Sabbath. But when we look at that and read that, we have to see what it's saying. It's not saying that they profane the Sabbath. They meant we won't profane the Sabbath for fighting on the Sabbath, but it was saying we won't profane the Sabbath by dishonoring the holy covenant of the Most High by not doing it, by obeying the king and eating the foul food, the unclean food that was offered to idols for sacrifice. That's what they were saying that they would not do. So they said they refused, and they died in their innocence. And they also, they refused to fight. Because it says, if you read the account, they refused to fight. That was their choice. They refused to fight, and they said 1,000 of them, they died. But then, as we know, Judas Maccabees, Matthias, their father, who was a priest, he got wind of what happened, the situation. So therefore, they rend their clothes. So anytime you see where it says the priest, they rend their clothes and put sackcloth on and ashes, right there, that's showing that they're praying to the Most High, or they're asking the Most High for guidance and direction. Therefore, and after that, they came to and said that they would no longer allow anyone to attack them. When somebody tell Brother Wendell, I can't talk right now, please. They would allow no other person to attack them because it was just because it was on the Sabbath. But if you read it, it's not saying that they said that they would fight on the Sabbath. They're saying that they would not allow anyone to attack them on the Sabbath, never again. So that's what that account took place there. So, because yes, every time we do go into a battle or anything, just like I mentioned earlier with excuse me, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, you have to have good counsel, and your counsel has to be godly men of the Most High. So without that counsel, things could happen. So it's not saying it's bad to fight on the Shabbat, on the Sabbath, but you have to realize the main thing for them getting the guidance from Yahweh was to upkeep the holy covenant and ways of the Most High. So therefore, if they didn't fight on the Shabbat, if enemies come to attack them, which Yahweh can, he's almighty, he can prevent them from attacking. But in the event if they did come to attack them, they would fight because they had the zealous, as you see the word, they had zeal and zealous for the covenant and the ways of the Most High. Just like Phinehas that was in Numbers chapter 22, Phinehas, grandson of Moshe. He had zealous when he saw that the Israelite took the Egyptian woman in the tent, and he said he took a javelin, a spear, and he stabbed it, and he stopped the plague, as Brother Yario was enlightening us this past Shabbat. By his zealous, he stopped the plague. He saved lives, because he could have just turned the shoulder, and the plague still would have been taking place, and thousands of lives, more lives that was lost would have been lost. So in the event when you see those things, yes, we are to honor the Shabbat. We're not to work and do anything, not to do anything. But when it comes to defending the covenant of the Most High, when it comes to defending his covenant and all that, we have to fight. We have to put on our full armor like he tells us in Ephesians chapter 6. That's why he tells us these things, that That's our warfare. Yeah, we can pray because we know at first, excuse me, that what's that? First Chronicles 20:20 and Second Chronicles 20:20. Excuse me, fam. With Jehoshaphat, he prayed to the Most High, and he assembled his army, but his army wasn't like most how people strategically fight armies now. They put their infantry out first, then their tanks, their armory, the cavalry. No, he put his musicians, his singers, they went first in the battle. So yes, Yahweh's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours, like we learned in Isaiah chapter 55. But we have to not to be mistaken in what we're living in now, that if it came to protecting the covenant of the Most High and his divine ways, we have to fight because Yahweh is a man of war. That's what we told. He is the general and the commander-in-chief. Like the United States has Barack Obama in their government, Yahweh in his government, that's him. He made Israel the fighters that they are. To remember when they came out of Egypt, remember they could have just cut right through. I think it said, 11-day journey in Deuteronomy? But he took them around another path because he knew they wasn't warriors yet. Their spirit hadn't built up to that stage yet to fight. And then we know as they build up more and got learn more, in tune and counseled from the Most High through his servant Moshe, we learned that they became mighty men, mighty warriors. So just to say that, just to give, that was a little brief synopsis of, I can't even talk to them, so I apologize, family. Just to give a little brief on what the dealings went on, because I thought it was appropriate because of when we were reading, like I said, First Chronicles, when they were attacked. But like I said, you also had to realize, like when we read in Revelation, there's martyrs. Some groups are martyrs. Some people's spirit, they chose not to attack and go that way. Then you have some mighty men that do fight back. Like we know some in the book of Judges. We know a few people that fought back in the book of Judges just with a goat herd, like with the Zion, that tool. He killed men by himself. I think his name was Shamgar. I probably said the brother's name wrong. Forgive me. But yeah, he used a Zion, what we call number 7 in our Hebrew alphabet. It follows after the, after the Wav, and it comes before the Chet. He used that and he fought off. Then we know about Brother Samson, one of the thoroughest, a jawbone of a donkey. So we know they're mighty men. Gideon, can't forget Gideon. Remember, Gideon started off what we would call nowadays a coward. But we see that he grew to become mighty. But we only grow and become mighty because we had the spirit of Yah embodied in us to make us be that mighty man of Yah. Like Brother Uriel, he would say that when he texts you, call you. He said, "How you doing, mighty man of Yah?" I find it humorous, but it's funny. But I got to start thinking like that. That's what we are. That's we are mighty men of Yahweh. Why? Because we control the sword, which we know the sword is his word of faith. We use these things that he gave us to enable us to be the mighty men of Yahweh, because that's, we know his weapons are not carnal. We're in spiritual warfare. And that's what's taking place. Like I said, this month, years back, Jeroboam, he installed a feast, getting back to what this 1 Kings chapter 12 is about. It was the split, the division of the tribes, because of some disagreements. We know how family can be. And then they wanted to fight. They wanted to take arms to fight. But the man of Yahweh told the man, his prophet, he said, go tell Rehoboam, don't you fight them, because he got 180,000. He wanted to get together and he wanted to attack them. He said, don't attack them, because why? I put that spirit, I sent that spirit out. So like I said, we have to sometimes not be so quick to react. I know I'm guilty of it. Quick to react and not wait on Yahweh and ask Yahweh for guidance and counseling. And that's why I said in the book of Maccabees, that what took place, First Maccabees, chapter 2, I believe it was chapter 3, because I don't have it on me right now. Just near me, I can find it. But we just went over last Shabbat. That's what the case. There were some people that they were martyrs. It's always going to be martyrs. There's going to be warriors. And they chose to go that way. Yahweh gave them a choice. That's what they chose to do. But the Maccabees brothers, because like I said, they all were priests. We remember it from the account of Moses, like Yahweh brought out, when Moshe came down from the mountain and they had the golden calf, remember? And they said, because that's the symbol, just like what went on during this month thousands of years ago with Jeroboam, he made two golden calves. And we remember when Moses came down, because they said, hey, Aaron, where's Moses who brought us out of Egypt? He's taking too long. Yeah, that's in Exodus, I believe that's Exodus chapter 32, if I'm not mistaken, or 22. I apologize for not having that down, but it just came to my mind. He said, he's taking too long. So they said, Aaron, make us a god. And so Aaron took the gold and the earrings and the jewelry, and he formed a god, which he didn't form a god. He formed an idol, a golden calf. And they said, this is who brought us out of Egypt, which we know right there that wasn't true. Yahweh delivered them with a mighty, mighty hand and pulled them out of Egypt and delivered them. But sometimes, like I said, we lose focus and we get a little impatient. I know I'm guilty of it. And what happens since then, like you said, the northern kings, they brought idolatry into the religion and corruption, brought taxation, repressing the people, the prophets. They abused their powers. And the result of it, and we had a list of the kings. I couldn't find that right now, but maybe another show. We saw how when we went through that tour, I know it's been a while back now, but we didn't went through the tour. We haven't been a king, but either it was eight kings was murdered or they committed suicide. Only one king, I think it was Zimri. He lasted for only 7 days. That's how much you could say wickedness was going from the result of turning from Yahweh and going to, doing your own ways. Like, so that makes Proverbs, 6:24, correct? When it says there's a, it's not 6:24, excuse me. There's a way that seems right into a man, but that way leads unto death. Yeah, it seems right in the beginning or whatever, because that's what you want to do. Just like Hasatan was saying in, was that Isaiah? What do you say? When I become the Most High, when they bring praises to me, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And that's when it says Yahweh found iniquity in him. And Yahweh, if he teaches us in Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit, patience, long-suffering, love, tenderness, kind. How long you think Hasatan, his name wasn't Hasatan, then his name was Lucifer. That's who Yahweh created, a beautiful cherub, anointed cherub named Lucifer. How long you think he had that buildup in him? Yahweh just didn't, the first time Yahweh heard that, because we know Yahweh know every man's thoughts. You think Yahweh could just check them in and put them out? No, Yahweh showed some of that fruit of the Spirit. So that's why he wanted us to show the same thing. Patience, temperance, meekness. And so that, and it kept on going to a point where Yahweh was like, okay, that's enough. Just like we learned in 1 Peter, what it say, judgment starts where? In the house of Yah. It begins in the house of Yah. Begin with the priest, like we just went over in Malachi a few Sabbaths back. So those same things on earth as it is in heaven. That's the pattern that he gave. So that's the reason why he told Moses to build an ark, build a table, put these things inside the tabernacle, the table of shewbread, the manure, the altar incense before the Holy of Holies. Put those things away. It was to give us a little representation of what's up in heaven. Because why? Up in heaven there is altars, because we said that's where Lucifer, it said he walked amongst the holy, back and forth amongst the holy coals. He doesn't change. He's still doing the same thing now that he got kicked. The only thing he's not inhabiting the praises for the Most High, he's intercepting them. He's trying to intercept them by his deceit, and that's what he's doing. He's turning people away from the Most High. Just like the name, Phineas, his name, as we found out last week, meant deceptor or turning away. If I'm not mistaken, we're going to look it up real quick. I thought I wrote it down, but I didn't write it down. Excuse me. Jeroboam. I don't know if I said it early. Yeah, I did say it early. Hebrew 3:3-9, don't hurt to say it again. His name, the people will content, to strive to contend. Excuse me. So, same thing with his name, causing the people to contend, to construct, to strive against, like a upright, a revolt, as they would call it. Same spirit that Hasatan had up in the kingdom, to Yahweh one did the fruit of the spirit with him. We don't know how long that is, how long Yahweh put up with him before he. And we know how the story goes in Revelation chapter 12, where it was a war up in heaven. And Michael cast him, Hasatan, out with a third. We know Yahshua, he confesses to that when he said, I saw, well, I don't know, he probably called him Lucifer. He saw Hasatan get kicked out of heaven. He said he saw him fall, get kicked out. So we know right there that that's a firsthand account that he witnessed that. Just like he told the Pharisees when they were questioning him, who give you your authority and all that. He's like, hold it. My authority comes from the Most High. He testified me, he witnessed to me, and I witnessed from him, and that's all that need to be witnessed of. That's all that need to be said. No further, you know, who else can I get to witness more so than the Most High, my creator? Just like the Most High told Abraham. When Abraham, when he said he imputed that as righteousness, he said he looked at things and found in Galatians, he said he looked around and said, for nobody to swear on, because why? He is God. He is the Most High. So once we have that approval for the Most High, like Rabbi Yaakel used to say, we don't need approval for nobody else. We don't need no approval for no scholar, no professor. We got the approval for the Most High, the Ruach. Nothing else can top that. That's it. So, being the result, like I said, of their sinful ways and idolatry, a lot of the kings died. And then after his power, after the power, the worst king ruler, as you could say worse, King Ahab. We know Ahab. He married Jezebel. Remember, he brought mad idolatry to Israel. And so from there on out, people compared him as when you did bad in the eyes of Most High, he was like Ahab. And vice the opposite. When you did good in the Most High, a king that did good, said he was like David. He was like his father David. Because all David did the things that was pleasing to the Most High, just like Yahweh told Yahshua. He said, this is my well-beloved son who I'm well-pleased with. Why? He's well-pleased with all of us, all his children. When we do the things, we abide by his covenant, uphold his covenant, his law, statutes, and commandments, and we walk in them, that's what makes him well pleased with us. The disaster of the two tribes, excuse me, wasn't a disaster of the two tribes, but the two tribes, they remained more faithful, the southern tribe, like I said, Benjamin and Yehuda, they stayed with the reign of David, the heirs of David. But idolatry still plagued Judah also. But wasn't the same extent? We remember the accounts that we read through. Wasn't the same extent as how the northern tribe went. The northern tribe, they took it to a little serious edge. Even though we know sin is sin, but they took Yahweh's patience more. Like I said, he's long-suffering. He's temperance. He has meekness. He has kindness. So right now, King Jeroboam, we're going to read. I'm going to read some scriptures real quick. And it's kind of timely how this is because we opened up the book of Maccabees two Shabbats ago. And a character in the book of Maccabees, his name was, I'm going to make sure I say his brother's name right. Excuse me. Oh, man. Antioch the fourth, King Antioch. And this brother, he made himself, he grew, you know, I guess you like, you're feeling yourself because of the power that he obtained through his reign, you know, he, you know, going around enlarging his kingdom. And he allowed that to inhabit him, cause him to be very high-minded, which Yahweh doesn't like. King Antioch. He grew obsessed with his own, as I guess you say, feeling yourself. That he had the name that they call the title Epiphanius, which means God manifest. And that gave him a nickname. They gave Antioch Epiphanius, they gave him a nickname, I've researched it, Crazy Antioch. But what happened with the king and First King, getting back to that now. Excuse me. First King chapter 12. I'm going to begin a little bit of reading. And as I said earlier, you'll hear some things that we went over before. We're going to pick up in verse. Because I shared about he didn't take the counsel that he should have taken, and that caused a little, you know, uproar against the tribes of the northern tribe. But they did not want to, in fellowship with them anymore. So they turned against, and that's what caused the split right now. Excuse me. We're going to be in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse, where am I? Let's go with, we're going to start at 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. All right, hallelujah. Then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there, he went out and built Peniel. So we're going to stop right there. We said his name means contend. And he built and he fortified Shechem. So he built Shechem up to make that his, you know, his fortress. Shechem in the Hebrew is 79:27. You look at that term and say back, it means back or shoulder. Then it say origin from Hebrew 79:26, which means like ridge or between shoulders. Like it says a place of burden. And the first time that we heard the word Shechem was in Genesis chapter 33, verse 18. It says it gives the names of it was fairly mentioned Salem, which scholars say that points to Jerusalem. But we know when we hear the word Salem, what should come to our mind is what? Melchizedek. That should come to our mind. The king of the Most High from Salem. The high priest from Most High from Salem. That should come to our mind when we hear that. That's when we hear they talked about the lands in Genesis chapter 33, verse 18. Then also the word Peniel. We heard Peniel before when we was in Genesis, not too, I think it was chapter 25 or 26. Forgive me for not having that down. And the Hebrew Peniel means 6439, the Hebrew number, which means facing God, face of God. Excuse me. Origin from 6437, Panah. Panah, the word Panah, I found this interesting, means turn from or turn away from God. Just like we said earlier, Phineas, I didn't mention that Phineas. We mentioned the good Phineas that had a zealous for the Most High, because the Most High, by him acting like he did to uphold the covenant and to save his people, he got the priesthood. Yahweh made an order of priesthood after him forever. So But there's another Phineas I didn't mention. I thought I mentioned when we look in the we remember the book of Samuel. The high priest at that time was called Eli, and he had two sons, Hophni and Phineas. That Phineas wasn't a man of character. That Phineas was a man. They dishonored the covenant in the ways of the Most High. They didn't uphold the divine and the sanctity of the ways of the Most High, or as the priest should do, because remember, the priest is in the stead of the Most High. Remember he said, instead of all the firstborn, remember he said all the firstborn, everything, he said, I'm going to take the tribe of Levi. Remember he said, the tribe of Levi, I'm going to take them, and they're going to minister for me. They're going to officiate for me. They're going to show people the ways of the Most High. They're going to give the holy sacrifices and the offerings. They're going to bless the people. They're going to teach the people. The people will hear the laws from the priest's lips, like we know we heard from Malachi chapter 2, verse 7. And so they was in their position, Eli's sons, Hophni and Phineas, they did not do that. They, instead of doing what you're supposed to do, offer the offering to the Most High. Most High would give you portions of that because you were the priest. Remember, the priest didn't have no inheritance. They didn't have no land or anything. So the other 11 tribes supposed to have looked out for them. Excuse me. And so when the things were presented and brought to them, the priest supposed to still offer them to the Most High, but they weren't offering the Most High his due, and they were taking everything. Then they were taking things, if you read the story in Samuel, they were taking things by force. They were committing fornication because those brothers were married. Well, one of them brothers was married because his wife, she was pregnant with a child that she named Ichabod, when she found out that her father-in-law, Eli, the high priest, he died. He died and told her, I see what somebody said, you're good. I told her, well, her father-in-law died, which was the high priest, Eli, and she was pregnated by his son, Phinehas, and she named her child Ichabod, because at that time, when Eli died, you'll find that account of 1 Samuel. I apologize. No, I'll make sure that's first. It might be second. You'll find that account where it said, as soon as he died, as soon as he heard what was taking place, because we know Samuel got sent to his house, that when he died, he said he fell back and he died. He broke his neck. And then the Philistines, they took the Ark of Yah. So now that's when the Ark of the Covenant, if I'm not mistaken, now was taken away out of Israel. But we know it was only taken away out of Israel because why? Yahweh allowed it. We know no man can't touch that ark. We went over that before, and it was Samuel. When Uriah, he saw the ark look like it was going to fall off a cart. He went to touch it, and he died. So we know that certain people, they only were allowed to touch it, even though only people that were ordained to touch it and set apart to touch it was the Levites, the priests of the Levites. So we know the only reason why Philistine had the ark because Yahweh allowed that to take place to get the attention of Israel. And then we knew when that happened, remember Israel stayed in battle with the Philistines. That's how David came to rise. And we hear David when he come to rise. But like I said, that's in first set. Let me make sure I do that right thing. This one, Eli, that account that I'm telling you about. Yeah, Samuel came along in first Samuel. So that account we're talking about, death of Eli, you'll find that in first Samuel, excuse me, chapter 4. And as we notice, Yahweh always have a man in stead, because why? Samuel grew up in the temple. So Yahweh, remember I told you about the long-suffering, patient temperance? He see things going on, just like he saw when Hasatan was up in the kingdom. Excuse me, when Lucifer was up in the kingdom, who was anointed charm to do his job, was saying, this is what I'm going to do when I become Yah, when they worship me and praise me. He knew what was going on in the house of Eli. Eli didn't get his house in order as the scriptures say, just like Hezekiah was told by the man of God, Prophet Nathan, excuse me, Prophet Isaiah, when he told Hezekiah, he was like, get your house in order. So Eli didn't have his house in order, and therefore Yahweh, what? He allowed Samuel to be raised up in his house and learn the ways of the Most High. So, because Yahweh knew he needed someone to stand in the gap, minister for him, because why? He knew the judgment that was going to come on Eli, the high priest, and his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. So therefore, he knew that he had to have, Yahweh always had someone there. So nothing catches Yahweh by surprise or as the terminology said, caught me off guard. No, not with the Most High. Everything that happens, the Most High is aware of it. Even you might say, how can you be aware of that, Brother Shabbal? Even the things that we call bad, I saw a little poster say Yahweh has a way of taking lemons and turning it into lemonade. See, he can take a catastrophe, what looks like a catastrophe to us or a failure or whatever, and he can turn that around for his good in any circumstances. Death, there's anything you can think of would be a tragic loss or whatever, and Yahweh, that's why I said, is there anything? Didn't he ask Abraham and Sarah that, or Abraham? Didn't he come back in Jeremiah chapter 32? Then he asked him, he said, is there anything too hard for me to do? Then Yahshua will come and say in the flesh, what's impossible for man is not impossible for the Father. So with the Father, as we know, we can do nothing without him. So that's why it always behooves us to stay close and attack with him. But getting back to 1 Kings chapter 12, I said we're going to pick up and read. 1 Kings chapter 12, we'll pick up. Starting in verse 25, then Jeroboam fortified Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim and lived there. From there he went out and built up Peniel. The hill country of Ephraim, that's a part of allotted land that was given to Ephraim. Remember, it was tribes, 12 tribes. Remember, Moshe gave every land. But certain parts of each land and in that region was given to the Levites. Remember, the Levites didn't have any land of their own like the other tribes. But certain parts, because if you remember, when Yahshua went away a lot of times, when they say he left and talked, Yahshua went and dwelled in the land of Ephraim. In between going to, when he visited Lazarus, and Mary and Martha, Yahshua went in those lands. Because as we learn, everything that Yahshua did, when he walked on the face of earth that he was here incarnated, and what he said is found in the Torah, and it was in the Torah for a reason. It's just up to us, not up to us. We wait patiently for the Most High to guide us and lead us at his time, and he'll reveal it to us. And we'll see it right in the teachings of the Mashiach when he walked on the earth, in the letters and the testimonies that they call the New Testament. Okay, so right there, Jeroboam, he thought to himself, we see right there, Jeroboam the king, the kingdom will now likely never revert to the house of David. That's what we're in verse 25, man. I apologize if I didn't tell you that. Excuse me. Verse 26. And verse 27, if the people go up to do sacrifice in the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of the people turn again until their Lord, their master. The master they're talking about is Rehoboam. Because remember, he was the king that was supposed to sit and see for the throne of David, because Yahweh promised the scepter would never leave out of David, Judah's kingdom, Judah line, their heritage. So that's what he's trying to prevent. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. And whereupon the king took counsel and made two casts. There go the word counsel again. We're going to look that up. I apologize. I thought I wrote that down, but I didn't. The word counsel, verse 28. In the Hebrew, is 3289. It's yahats, to advise, to consult, to give counsel. To consult together, to exchange, to deliberate. That's very important. You want to deliberate when you're in counsel, because some counsel could come out because of hostility or frustration. But when you're in there having, you're deliberating, going back and forth or getting to the heart of the matter, and letting Yahweh work through the heart of man. It's sort of like Yahweh before when he gave the, remember he gave the high priest an ephod and he gave him a Urim and a Thummim, that he was these two stones that that way they would know the mind and the thought of Most High to make a situation to go forth in a battle or to proceed to do something. Yahweh still hasn't changed. Just things just evolve as the stages go on, as the different stages go on. It's still the Urim and the Thummim still was controlled by the Holy Spirit. Never mistaken that. It wasn't no happenstance like we throw with the closest I can come to something now like that would, I would say people remember board games where you have dice. You just throw those. This is not like that. This is like lots. Yahweh told you make a lot of work. Yahweh picks those lots. We remember this Lot, not Lot himself, but the Lot that came up on two occasions came up. We remember Jonah. Remember they cast lots. They threw Jonah off the ship. Yahweh was the one that was behind that, that made that lot come up. So his will and purpose be done. So like I said earlier, nothing just happens by happen chance. So counsel, like I said, to deliberate. That's why Yahweh has it. Remember he had the 12 apostles, 12 disciples, and the 70 elders. Just like he gave to Moshe, and then we come all the way up, Luke 11, I believe, when Yahshua came, he did the same thing. He picked the 12. Well, the Father picked the 12, and he led them and instructed them in the ways of the Most High, and he had the 70. Just like we know the 70 is what they would call then the Sanhedrin, but just look at it as a council of elders where deliberation goes on back and forth, which is very important. It's a prime root to advise reflectively, to deliberate or resolve, or advertise, take advice or advise, well consult, divide or guide a purpose. So that's that word counsel. That Jeroboam, he took a counsel. The king took counsel and made two casts of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem and behold the gods of Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Israel. Right there, that was a big no-no. Because we remember, like we said earlier, when they did that, when Moshe went up. Moshe went up to do what? Get counsel from the Most High so he could know how to govern these people that the Most High put under his leadership. So he had to, but he stayed away in the eyes of the people too long, so they instructed Aaron to make a golden calf. Verse 29, he set the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. Bethel, that word Bethel in Hebrew is 1008, 1008 Bethel, which means the house of Yah. It was an ancient place, it was a seat of worship at one point at Ephraim on the border of Benjamin. And Dan. The word Dan in the Hebrew is 1835. Dan means dawn. Dan means judge. That was the fifth son of Jacob. Remember by Rachel's handmaid, Bilhah. Excuse me. Okay, let me get one back. Verse 30. And this thing became a sin. Why it became a sin, family? Yahweh didn't instruct him to do that. His counsel came from who? Hasatan. His counsel didn't come from the Most High. His counsel came, as we read back a couple verses back, I think it was what, verse 25, 26, when he said he thought to himself and said he would do this thing. Remember, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do something. But make sure when you want to do something for the Most High, make sure it's in line with his covenant, laws, statutes, and ordinances. It is not from the Most High if it's not in line with his instructions that he gave us, his Torah, or his other prophets, men of renown, the ancient way, the ancient past. If it's not from them, if they didn't practice them, that's what Paul said, I think it's in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And see, people read that right now in the English. They go, in the faith. Examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. Not this faith that's out here now. See, that faith is out here now. That's the Christianity. That's not what Paul's talking about. Remember, Paul was from the tribe of Benjamin, one of the two tribes that stayed loyal to the throne of David, the ways of the Most High. Adhere to the ways of the Most High. Remember, it was only Judah and Benjamin. And Paul comes from that tribe. He's telling you, examine yourself to see if you're doing these laws, commandments, and statutes. That's what people have to realize. So anything that you get, that's how you test it. That's how you test it to see if it's from the Most High. What did he tell us in Timothy? 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, this is for what? Rebuke, reproof, correction, so you can fully be furnished in the light of the ways of the Most High. So if you're not sure, if you want to know this from the Most High, will the Most High be pleased with this? Look in his word. That's why he gave it. Don't take it among yourself, because we can be, and we know what Yahshua said about ourselves. He spoke it through the prophet Jeremiah. Remember? Jeremiah, what, 17, whatever? He said, your heart, your mind is full of what? Murder, adultery. Then Yahshua came in the flesh and said it. He said it again. He repeated it again. He said, I know what your mind is full with, your heart. So if we're not staying in the ways of the Most High, our minds, we are carnal. Remember, David said, I was born in, well, he said, I was born in sin, born out of sin and shaken in iniquity. That's our lives too. Nothing changed. That's why we have to renew our mind. That's why we become new people in the Most High by daily fellowshipping with the Most High, staying in tune with the Most High, with his ways. Excuse me. Verse 31. And he made a house of high places and made priests and made priests of lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. Remember, Yahweh told them when they came out of Egypt that I'm going to, instead of taking the firstborn everything, I'm going to take the tribe of Levi. They're going to be mine. They're going to be my representative. So no one can be a priest unless they come from that tribe. I know you probably say, hold up, brother. You just said something about Samuel back in 1 Samuel chapter 1 through 4. And he took over. Yahweh intervened, like I said, because he knew that Eli, the high priest, and his two sons, judgment will come, and he needed a man to stand in the gap. And we know that Samuel, from learning that Samuel was a prophet and a priest. They would say the seer, because if you read accounts of Samuel as he came more, people would say, let's go see the seer, the man of God. We know he'll tell us the way. I think before Saul even became the king, correct me if I'm wrong, they were looking for some donkeys of his father, Saul's father, and wanted to do, hey, man, let's take an offering and go see the seer of God. He didn't tell us. But he made a sin because he made priests. How could he make priests? Only way he can make a priest, like we just went over, if it follows the ways of the Most High, which means they had to come from Levi. He can't make priests of his own, which he can, which he did, but that's not accepted from the Most High. Verse 32, and Jeroboam ordained, a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrifice unto the calves that he had made and placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So like I said, Wednesday at sunset was the 15th of this eighth month. Yesterday was the 16th, and the day at sunset was the 17th of the eighth month, that where he made a feast years ago. And I want to give you the correct name, because I know I butchered that name up early. I apologize. We'll go there real quick. It's, said it wrong. And I apologize. I'm going to say it correctly. Correct pronunciation for eighth is Shim-E-Ni. Shim-E-Ni. Thank you, Father. Shemini, the origin from, that's Hebrew, 8066. So we're in the eighth month. We're in the month of Shemini. Even though, like I told you earlier, the scriptures say you won't find Shemini in there. Remember, we're trying to restore the ways of the Most High, like Brother Ariel was doing in the Hebrew culture and stuff. Remember, we're trying to use the names, that meaningful names that the Most High gave us. In the scriptures, we'll mention bull, like I said, in 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 37 through 38, which is the eighth month. That I have to use that because that's something that we're more familiar with. We were like, Shemini, where did that brother coming off with that? That's Hebrew 866, origin from Hebrew 8083, which is Shemoni, which means eight in combination with other numbers, eight. It's through the idea of plumpness, like something full and richness, as if a surplus above perfect. Because we know that seven is the number of completion. We know that. So how is this brother going to do an eighth-day feast that be more perfect than the seventh-day feast of Yahweh that Yahweh ordained and constructed? And with the, like we just heard the root word, the word says, which means plumpness, as if a surplus. He can't do that. No man can do that. No man can't do that. Because why? We know that the eighth day points to we're going to see the Father. Hallelujah. It's timely how we was on that, because Brother Dale Well was teaching about eighth day last Shabbat morning class, that we don't want nobody to prevent us from seeing, preventing us from getting to that eighth day. This brother right here, he is definitely standing right there. He's opposed, standing in opposition to prevent us from seeing the eighth day. Because why? He's going to make a feast that's going to be surplus above the seventh month feast that Yahweh gave us so that we can see the Father. And his is going to be perfect? No. Unheard of. So I said, it's Shemini. Say it again, my father. Slow down. Shemini. Shemini. Excuse me. So getting back to our. Getting back to my verse as I close that out. Getting back to Shemini. Excuse me, fam. I apologize. I should have had that written down from the kick-off. Going back to verse chapter 1 Kings chapter 12, verse. Like I said, he tried to ordain. He appointed priests. So that's where he's wrong right there. He can't appoint no priest. He's not allowed to appoint a priest. He appointed a feast in the eighth month. He had audacity to do that in the eighth month on the 15th day. And so that he did sacrifices. Now he offered sacrifices, which is unacceptable. Yahweh's not going to accept that. Why? Because that's not where the sacrifice is supposed to be presented and brought to. And they have to be done by the people that is ordained, which was the priest. So none of this stuff is going to work. That's why some people think you can go, you talk to people in the world, you can go on Sunday. Everybody go on Sunday. No. Everybody that's trying to follow and uphold the covenant and walk in the ways of the Most High and being obedient, they're not going on Sunday. That's a holy day, falls on Sunday. They're going on the Shabbat, the Sabbath. That's what they're doing. Verse 33. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. You hear it right there. And ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar burnt incense. So as we see right there, you cannot go by your way of doing. The closest to the eighth day, as Brother Dalewell was bringing out, that's the wedding banquet. Remember the wedding banquet that Yahshua spoke about? Yahshua even caught a man remember the parable he gave about the wedding feast? He said, brother, where's your clothing? Why are you not in your proper clothing? And they said he got cast out. Remember, Yahshua tell us in John 10, I stand at the door. I'm the good shepherd. No man can come in no other way. If you can't, you're a thief or a robber. If you try to come another way, can't come no other way. He's the good shepherd. So my sheep hear my voice. So the people that was in Israel, which we learned in Maccabees, some of the people in Maccabees, we read in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, chapter 4, and Brother Ahab, we're going to pick up. God, we're going to give him the rest to pick up tomorrow. That some people, they got worried, and they did what the king requested, and they broke the holy covenant and divine ways of the Most High. They ate the food that was offered to idols, unclean foods. They tried to uncircumcise themselves, the males. They tried to do the things of the ways of the world, what they call at the time, Hellenized period that was going on. So every nation seems to go through that just about. Just like right now, African Americans. This is not really our culture and some of the things we do as African Americans. But we've been here so long, certain things have been instilled, and we lost so much of our culture and our heritage and our language and our faith. Well, you can say religion, but our faith, that we're doing things of the world. We're doing things that's not of us. I blew my shofar earlier. Somebody downstairs said he was scared. I said, that's a shame. You know me. I kept it real. I said, that's a shame. We're so far away from our culture and heritage that you don't know. You should hear one of those. You should be glad to hear one of those on a Friday at sunset. But Nas, we're not unaware of it. What Hosea say? My people are destroyed from the lack of knowledge. Not the knowledge as far as like book knowledge in the world, but the knowledge of the ways of the Most High, laws, commandments, and statutes. That's where we lack. Then what do you say? If you forget my ways, I'll forget your children. If I'm not, I don't want to mess that up. I should have went to Hosea. But correct me if I'm wrong, family. I think that's what he said. So that's why it's very important us to stay online with the Most High. Like I said, the closer to the eighth day, like I said, that marriage, remember he gave us that marriage feast that he said, I'm going to eat this Passover with you again one day. I'm going to drink with you one day again up in the Father's house. Because why? We the groom. I mean, he's the groom, the bridegroom, and he's going to present us to the Father. He's going to take us to the Father's house. We the bride that's unspotted and unblemished. Because of why? Because of Yahshua. Because of his righteousness, I become righteousness. If I ask for forgiveness, repent, and I try to abide and follow his laws, statutes, and commandments, that's what makes me be righteous. That's what allowed me to put on my banquet clothes and be accepted to have a seat at that table. And John 14 mentioned where he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Oh, he already done it. It's already done. We just have to get there now. He's not a man to lie. We're going to have to repent. So it's there. It's our job now is to keep on using the equipment that he gave us, put on our full armor so that we can get there. Like Brother Dale Wells said, don't let nobody allow us, prevent us from getting to the eighth day. Getting to that marriage feast so he can present us to the Father. Remember, that's what the eighth day points to. Remember, the last feast of the fall season, four holy days in the seventh month, and Jeroboam going to try to make this more plumper or fatter or more surplus in the seventh month. How can he do it? The first day of that month is the current to rule, the memorial blowing of the trumpets. The king is here. The king is coming. The king is back. Then you count 10 days and do what? You atone. How can Jeroboam atone? He can't do it. He's not the Father. He's not at the order of the Most High like Melchizedek or like Yahushua coming from the tribe of Judah. Right? Yahushua wasn't from Levi. He was from the tribe of Judah, the priestly king. Then he can't atone or cover. Because why? Only the priest that ordained to do that can atone and cover for Israel. Then the third one in that month, the 15th of the seventh month, which is what? Sukkot. That first day, we say it's a holy convocation. Come on, I'm going to come with you. And then for 7 days, what you do, he said, leave your permanent dwelling, come on out. Come out where I tell you to come out at, and I got your back. And for 7 days, you're going to have Thanksgiving, and we're going to dwell together. I'm going to be in your midst, you're going to be in my midst, and we're going to dwell together for 7 days. Then what he say? For 7 days, and after that, you go back home to your houses, but I protect you because I gave you my word that nobody, the follower, or no one would take your land or mess with your land while I'm gone. Because he ordained that and he cannot lie. He said that he would never tell you to do something that he can't provide for and get you through. That's one thing I'm coming to find out now in this walk. I have to tell him, I try to shake you, but now I'm getting that part real good. Then the eighth day is the last great day, the last day of the feast. That's the surplus. That's better than the plumpness of the seventh month. The eighth day, what? We know that point back to Genesis 17 when he gave it. The sign, the covenant, the Abraham. Now we understand what he say, when you leave Egypt, don't do the thing that, when you come into this land that I've given you, that I promised to your forefathers, don't do what you've seen the Egyptians do, and don't do what the Canaanites do, who the land that I'm spewing them out, because they never obeyed my law, statutes, and commandments. Don't do that. So now we understand why he said, don't tattoo your body. Don't put markings on your body. Don't put anything, no cuttings on your body. Why? He gave you the male, the sign of circumcision, right there. So that's not an outwardly thing for somebody to see. Nobody walked around naked. We just went over that two Sabbaths ago. You covered your nakedness. That's why we don't know the brothers, they lost their way when they in the gym, the priest wrestling naked with somebody and trying to cover how they circumcision, trying to prevent the head from showing. No. He gave that sign. So that's why there's no need to put a tattoo on your body, mark your body, whatever. That's a sign, an inward, a sign that a private sign, because nobody sees that but you, because we wear clothing. But that's why we get more understanding. Why he said, don't mark your body, don't do that. I got this. And so Jeroboam could not do these things. Like I said, that's four feasts. Did I miss one? Securing to rule, Day of Atonement. He can't atone nobody. He's not the king that's coming. He wasn't even the king that was supposed to be appointed. He can't appoint no priest or to atone for you like the priest did once a year. Like we learned in Leviticus chapter 16, priest went once a year with two goats. You know, cast a lot and the one goat. Azazel was let out in the wilderness by a fit man. And then we said the third one was Sukkos, the 15th of the seventh month, and then the eighth day. Pointing to coming to the Father, going to that wedding feast that Yahshua talks about. So there's no such thing as a replica, a replacement. Just like modern day time, people think like, we're still in Bible time. People are like, oh, that was back in the Bible time. We modern now. No, there's no replica or replacement of the holy way of the Holy One of Israel, the ways of divine ways, the covenants of the Most High. That's why he's telling us, as we see going through our history of Maccabees, fight to your life. If your life depend on it, fight. Do not let nobody take this covenant from us. Fight. I made you warriors. And the significance of the eighth day feast coincides with his holy divine calendar. Like I just went over with the four holy days that's preparing us for the eighth day. So how can this brother give a feast like that? Why? Because that's not him. He was being controlled of, we know, the spirit of Amalek. We go all the way back. Esau, spirit of what? Edom, spirit of what? Hasatan, which was Lucifer, anointed cherub. He knows the ways of the Most High. So how can he corrupt? What's the way he corrupt? False worship. He accepts false worship. He inhabits this in the praise of false worship. He loves it. But the Most High, that's detestable to him. That's abomination to the Most High. That's why Most High, when we do the things that's right, he says, a sweet smelling savor, aroma up to my nose. But see, right now, it's not. I don't want to keep going. I'm surprised ain't nobody tell me cut it out. It's 9:15. I'm going to make sure I went over everything. I might have missed. I apologize. I missed something else I wanted, but I can't see it in front of me. But this month that we're going in now, we battle against spiritual wickedness, principalities, powers, and thrones and dominions in high places. Right now, some things going on in your life, you wonder what's going on. Right now, so a lot of wickedness going on right now, because why? He instituted this feast back then, thousands of years ago. We know there's nothing new under the sun. So, and we also know it from Brother Uriel that he taught a few years back. We came out of the seventh month, and we come in the winter months, what we call, like I said, Shemani, or in the scriptures refer to it as bull. And now, so that's the winter months. Things we just came out of, like the harvest season. You know, it's getting cold. Bam. So now what happens? Hasatan can try to creep in, like Brother Uriel brought out about 2-3 years ago. Man, that was excellent how he said that. That was a good analogy. Because, wow, we just came off a high. We was out doing Sukkot for 7 days with the Most High. Blessings like crazy every day, doing the things he tell you to do. That whole month, that whole 7 months was just like he said, and what was that, Deuteronomy 16? Excuse me, observe the whole month of Abib. Same difference, no difference with the month of Ethanin, that seventh month. No difference with that. Because why? That whole month was filled with 4 holy days and festivities going on. So then what happens? We come into the ninth month, we get ready to come up on cold winter months. We read about the ninth month in Ezra when it said it was cold, it was raining, it was the winter. You come in John chapter 10, verse 22, when Yahshua was on the porch of Solomon. They said it was wintertime, it was the Feast of Dedication. Feast of Hanukkah is going to come up. That's going to come up. But that feast, we just read some of those things. We enter the history of it right now. Yahweh is beautiful while you're doing this thing, because what we're reading now in the Maccabees, we get ready to come across. We already went and heard what happened on the 25th, the ninth month, on the 25th day of Kislev, what happened. They profaned the altar, the temple of the Most High, by sacrifice that God, that king, that God, Antioch Epiphanes, he profaned that temple. Then he made people turn from the ways of the Most High. But not all people, as we read, and as we're going to continue to find out in history, not all people turned and submitted. They held the fight and held steadfast for the Most High and divine ways. So we'll see right now, like I said, in those night in that temple, when we get to that part of the story, they're gonna renew the temple. They're gonna rededicate the temple back to its holiness, the prominence, the way it once was, the way it's supposed to be. Priests doing the duties. Sacrifice, the sacrifices that Yahweh says a sweet smelling savor. Things are going to go back. The lights are going to get lit. The lamps are going to light again. That way we get restored. And then we go into, like I said, because Brother Uriel brought out in his teaching a couple of years back, that holds us all. We rededicate ourselves. We get restored back to the Most High. How we get back to, how we light our lamps again during these times is dark months or cold wintry months. What? Didn't he say in Psalms 119:105, my word is like a light and a lamp to your feet and your path? We get in his word during these dark months. We stay in fellowship and contact with each other. We stay edified in the word. Just like David said, if you can't get in contact with somebody, edify yourself with the Holy Spirit with psalms and hymns, uplifting yourself. We got enough songs in our hymn book to uplift ourselves. That's how we do that. That's how we keep our lights light. And then we get to what? The 10th month. Got to keep our lights lit. Then we, the 11th month. Then the 12th month. We see 12th month, we run across things. Purim came up. So in the book of Esther, we just left out of Esther not too long ago, where they were going to get annihilated again, similar to the comparison where we read now in the Maccabees. That's what I've been getting out of it. Like, they've been trying to annihilate Israel for some years. And just won't, devil just won't give up. But he will not prevail. What Yahshua said, the gates of hell will not prevail against his kingdom. Can't do it. Especially when we stay in good counsel and stay in the ways of the Most High. Don't veer to the left or to the right, because Daniel 11:37, what did he say? My people will do great exploits only because of the power of the Most High and doing what he asks us to do. So right there, family, that's That's all I have right now tonight for that, because I see it going 9:21, and I don't know about the other brothers. They might be hungry. They may haven't ate yet either, since because we had our fast today. But I thank brother, I thank brother Ariel, not for he couldn't do it because his daughter had outraged. I don't want to say that like that. I thank him for calling me, put it that way, because I had a pretty rough day today. And that's why I said that with that spirit of Jeroboam, with this season going on right now. But that's okay, because we know it's all falsehood. And I hope the brother, his daughter's healing well. She should be healing well in the comfort of her father. I think that's the most thing to be around when you're going through something. I miss my mommy and daddy. But I got my heavenly father, Abba, so it's all good. You say you'd be a father to the fatherless. So I thank him on that. And I thank Yahweh for allowing us and enabling us to have Blog Talk so that we can reach out on to the other family members. And hopefully a word of edification can uplift them. So what I'm going to do right now, family, you got any questions, just send them to my phone. Send them to this line, and I'll answer them. Cause I probably ain't going to sleep no time soon. But I want to end with a prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father Yah, thank you for allowing me to stand in the gap to edify your people and give your people your word during this time, during this day, on the Shabbat. Even though we know, Father Yah, that nothing will prevail against your kingdom and your righteousness, as we find it out through the book of Maccabees, that you lead, that is the history of Israel, that they have to fight and they're going to go through opposition. But each time, Yahweh will prevail and pull them through. As I said earlier, pray for our Zakin, Brother Ward. Zakin, Brother Ward, apologize for missing your opening prayer. Zakin, Brother Brown, apologize for missing your opening prayer. Apologize for not saying y'all Hebrew names. I don't want to butcher them up. I got you next time. Brother Eliezer, as we said earlier, Sister Debbie sent the text message before the program that his cancer, we're praying to Yah to keep it under control, because as we've seen, he's been back. And when I say he's back, the brother, not just sitting in there, the brother talking that word again like he do, planting them, helping enrich the seeds that we already had, but giving us a little more of his wisdom by him being our Zakin to help us. So the brother came back at a good time, because we're in the book of Maccabees. The brother can explain some things. So we thank Yah for helping, continue getting that brother on a speedy recovery. But let Yah will be done. And all the family members out there, that we pray for your family as well. And anybody that's ailing physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, any matter, we pray for the shalom of Yahushua that can cover and heal all things. And we thank you for this Shabbat that you gave us, Father. Thank you for leading us and guiding us in your way, your truth. And we examine ourselves and we remain in the faith and we be that light for this darkened world. As you said in Zechariah, that we be the ones that they see our fringes and they'll grab, they say they're men of God, they know the way, and they'll grab onto our fringes. And Father, I thank you. Bless all the Morays and their families. I thank you in the name of Yahushua, your son, our soon coming King and Redeemer. Amen. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, family.